Business Matters is proudly sponsored by Prince of Plays Frosses. With 21 years in business, Prince of Plays provides managed print solutions with local support and remote ink monitoring, saving your business time and money. Prince of Plays, your local printer and photocopier company.
Hello and welcome along to another edition of Business Matters here on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. Later in this week's programme, I'll be hearing about a new social enterprise initiative for rural areas, and also looking at some of the latest stats from the motor industry about new car sales in the county and the latest trends. But first, Tomasos Siakon, the CEO of Údaráis na Gaeltachta, firmly believes that Gaeltacht areas could find themselves having to manage an influx of people. For so long, many Irish-speaking and often remote areas have seen high immigration and high unemployment. However, he is of the opinion that these regions, which now have surplus green energy, with more to come, global connectivity, thanks to broadband, and a good quality of life, well, they may soon face the opposite of that historic challenge. They could have too many people wanting in. So the question he raises is stark. If this success comes, who gets to live in the Gaeltacht, and what happens to the language and culture it was created to protect? Well, this is not a niche story. It's about energy policy, housing pressure, regional development, and the future of Irish-speaking communities. His comments came on the That Great Business Show with Conall O'Moran, which is a podcast, and given the relevance to the Donegal Gaeltacht, it's certainly worth hearing just what was said.
But I'm going to say something counterintuitive now. I'm going to say that, you know, all this way through, we've been discussing how we attract people to these areas. I think very much are soon entering a phase where we will have more work managing the flow of people moving to these areas rather than others. And I'll give you an example of why. If you look at the West Coast and people internationally are looking for green energy, they're looking for opportunity, they're looking for connectivity. All of the West and the Northwest currently, from existing installed capacity, has surplus green energy. At the moment, what they call dispatch down, where they have to turn off the turbines because the wind is blowing too much and there isn't the demand for the energy, runs at over 10% in the western counties, and in the northwest, that runs at up to 15%. So we have free green energy.
So you'd welcome the data centres?
Well, absolutely, because I'll give you a very clear example. There is a lot of discussion about the use of green energy and about the draw that data centres create on electricity network. But equally, what's usually important is Ireland's west coast is a landing space for international cables. So the data travels across the Atlantic directly or via Iceland and lands on Ireland's west coast, and then it has to travel across the country in the blink of an eye. But we have the data, we have the green energy, we have the space, we have the educated workforce. And we see that as a platform for creating other opportunities around the data centres. Because as we know and as we understand, data centres in themselves don't provide a lot of employment in relative terms. But what they do is create an ecosystem around them. And currently, Ireland has global leadership in terms of data centre. We are entering a phase of super exa growth in terms of data centres because of the demands of AI. We've built up that lead over an extended period of time. So in an area where this will only have a positive impact in terms of electricity use, in terms of using available electricity, by virtue of the fact that they will be based there, if this happens, and we would certainly support that, not even at the hyperscaler scale, but at modular data center level, it increases the durability and the connectivity for those that are already there. And the third element is, if you look in the context of both digital sovereignty and the emerging challenges around climate resilience, the West is really, really well positioned to draw on the available natural energy that's there. So I think counterintuitively, many people will say, you know, what are the reasons to locate there? And I think in the near future, we will be having the conversation about how to manage the flow of people seeking to locate there.
I'm going to give you a couple of quick fire questions. The broadband you have, has the broadband network?
The national broadband plan is absolute concrete proof of investment where there is market failure yields results. And we can see that in all of the clients that we deal with across day in, day out. it is basic infrastructure in and as much as whether it's in clean industry like data centers all the way to the individual like us that are using the digital media to tell news stories. It's a given that it has to be there, and it's a really, really good return on money spent.
Give me just two, three of the incentives that you can offer. What's available to somebody who may be looking to say, well, why not go down to the Gazdot?
So we offer all of the enterprise supports that are available through Enterprise Ireland, which is in line with the EU approach state aid rules. So like that's an even playing pitch. But the advantage we offer is we also offer accommodation. So that's not something that's offered by others. So
by accommodation, you're talking about factory space?
We're talking about factory space. We're talking about office space. We're working towards the accommodation, but we will be providing that as an additional benefit to those who wish to purchase it. But from our point of view, we can offer office or factory accommodation, and we're working towards turnkey solutions. Because of the demand we have at the moment, we're really to the pin of our collar to meet the demand in some areas, and we're very conscious of that. So we're working in ensuring that that's available, and we can help companies use that as a landing space to ensure they get up on their feet and look at further reductions around that. So that's something that differentiates us. And the other element is the retail element, which we engage with because we work so closely with the communities, and the added benefit of the language, which also opens up all sorts of markets, both across Europe and globally. Not all of the world is unilingual, so we're dealing with a far broader canvas. All of those areas come together. We'd be more than happy to engage with anybody that wants to have a look at udros.ie or engage with us.
Well, some interesting thoughts there from Tomás Ócsiokhán, the CEO of Udros na Gaeltachta. That was just part of a longer interview. And if you go to That Great Business Show with Conall O'Moran, you can hear the interview in full. Turning now to the motor trade, and I've been delving into some of the latest figures in relation to new car registrations in County Donegal. Well, during the first 2 months of the year, the biggest selling model in Donegal was Kia with 214 new vehicles registered. Toyota was second on 150, with Hyundai third with 120. Skoda came next on 106 units, with Volkswagen in fifth on 97 units. Making up the rest of the top 10 were Suzuki, Ford, Opel, Dacia and Nissan. Incidentally, one Porsche was registered so far this year in the county. And the Chinese newcomer BYD has 7 registrations in Donegal for the first 2 months of the year. In terms of the most popular model as opposed to make, the Kia Sportage, with 105 new registrations in Donegal for the first 2 months of 2026, well, it's leading the way. Second is the Skoda Kodiaq on 42. The Hyundai Tucson is joint third with the Toyota Yaris Cross. Now, turning to engine types, and petrol hybrid cars are now the most popular new sellers. They accounted for almost 32% of new sales during the first 2 months of this year. Purely petrol cars were down by more than 23% to just under 20% of all new car registrations. That's just 1 in 5. And purely electric cars accounted for over 15% of new car registrations in the county. That's marginally more than the petrol stroke plug-in electric hybrids at 14%, and diesel now just at 13% of all new registrations for the first 2 months of the year. And unlike years ago, the majority of new cars now have automatic transmission. On to colours, and it's a case of little change at the top of the leaderboard. Grey was the most popular colour so far this year, also in 2025 and 2024, coming in at 35% of new car registrations here in Donegal. Black is next on 18%, with blue on 15% and white on 14%. Overall, new car registrations in Donegal for the first 2 months of the year were up just under 6% at 1,120 new units. You're listening to Business Matters on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. Join me again after this short break.
Business Matters is brought to you by Print Supplies. Based in Frosses, Print Supplies has 21 years experience delivering managed print solutions that save you time and money. With remote monitoring and local hands-on support, they take the hassle out of printers and photocopiers. Email sales@printsupplies.ie to find out more.
Welcome back. Irish Rural Link was established in 1991 to represent the interests of locally based rural groups in disadvantaged and marginalised rural areas. It assists and helps local social enterprises to develop, and many of these can have a very positive impact on local economies, both socially and also through employment. Details were announced recently at a launch in Tyrone of a major €3.97 million investment in rural renewal. The Rural Innovation and Social Enterprise Project, known as RISE, is an initiative designed to put social enterprise at the centre of sustainable rural development. Community Finance Ireland is involved with groups such as Rural Action, Irish Rural Link, the Scotland Social Enterprise Academy, and Social Enterprise Northern Ireland. And it's all supported by Peace Plus from the European Union. Essentially, the aim is to strengthen rural communities by providing training, networking opportunities, and practical support to help organisations to enhance sustainability, expand income generation, and increase access to vital community services. Brendan Mulry is Project Officer with Irish Rural Link. We'll hear shortly about the new Peace Plus RISE social enterprise project and the groups in Donegal that may be interested in it, but I began by asking him to tell me more about Irish Rural Link.
Hi, Chris. Thanks a lot for having me on this evening. Well, Irish Rural Link is it was founded in 1991, so 35 years in operation this year. And Irish Rural Link, well, I suppose our main purpose really is to lobby and to work to improve rural opportunities and rural social life. And originally when it was founded back in the 90s, obviously poverty and rural were two things that went together. For a long number of years, the initial focus was on how to, address that poverty issue. But in more recent times, we work a lot in social issues. We are we're on the community and voluntary pillar of the social partnership framework. So we kind of influence government in terms of, rural economic development and social development in a wide range of ways. Our office, we have an office in Moat, right in the middle of the country, and right now we've something in the region of 30 odd staff, and people are working on a wide range of. We have a core staff and we have people working on a wide range of different projects, either economic projects or social projects and also environmental projects in more recent years. So, yeah, we do anything rural that can be considered either as a rural need we're fighting for, and that would include rural transport, broadband, rural health. That's just three examples off the top of my head. And anything that can help develop rural Ireland as it transitions as it changes, we're kind of involved in terms of modern farming techniques or changes, particularly in relation to just transition. We're involved in a lot of that, and environmental things where it has a social effect and it also has an environmental effect. It's really people based in the first place, but also the changing environmental face of rural Ireland we're very much concerned with as well. We're well respected because we don't have one set kind of political or ideological position. We look at everything, every issue on its own value. In the early years of the broadband, National Rural Broadband Plan, we were kind of instrumental in pushing that to bring it to a stage where it became an obvious government priority. And in years gone by, before that, we set up the rural transport links, the local link bus service. And we often still get mixed, confused because we have similar names. But originally that was set up to Irish Rural Link, and then it is now it operates under its own steam. And that
Yeah, here in Donegal, certainly the local link has been hugely successful, and it's a good example of, you know, your input. You are in many ways part of the jigsaw, part of the chain, and all these things, putting them together, it's helping to develop that rural economy, and there's a spin-off for everybody in the community, be it a local business or a community group or individuals.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have a membership of about 600 groups, which are your typical rural community centres, but also it could be agricultural groups, or there's just a wide range of organisations that are rurally based or that are there to help people in rural Ireland, our kind of former membership. We also as well run the National Meals on Wheels network for the HSE, and obviously there's about 300 odd members or Meals and Wheels providers in Ireland, and they're all kind of community based, so it's all kind of interconnected, but it's interesting, and we do a lot of work in Europe and with European partners, so we don't look at, you know, we'll say rural problems in isolation, that Ireland's unique in any way. We kind of just look at what's happening in Europe and try and get either inspired or work together with European partners to do a wide range of different projects or things that actually make a big difference. We see ourselves as a grassroots organisation.
Tell me, the term social enterprise, many people may have heard of it, but if you can elaborate just what it is, and in the context of Irish Rural Link, how you are involved in a variety of social enterprises and helping them to develop.
Yeah, well, social enterprise, the first, it's kind of became a bit of a buzz phrase over the last 15 years in Ireland. And really, social enterprises, in the first case, it's a business. But where it's different to for-profit businesses, like it is for profit, but a social enterprise, the focus really is really on the service that's delivered by that enterprise, be it Meals on Wheels or be it a service for, you know, it could be providing, I don't know, recreational services for people in disadvantage, could be Meals on Wheels, but it's a strong focus on what the actual service is, and also the service providers. So a lot of social enterprises are set up to give work opportunities to people who might have challenges in that area. Could be people from the travelling community, for example, or people coming out of prison or difficult situations. There's about 4,000 social enterprises in the Republic of Ireland identified, and they range from everything from a Meals and Wheels type organisation to a rural tourism type organisation or a recreational service for people with disabilities, for example, or an education service or some group that helps people, non-nationals. So there's really is a huge lot of inspiration and a huge lot of innovation in social enterprise. Now, Irish Rural Link, our connection really to social enterprise is one. In the first instance, we run the National Meals and Wheels Network, and that's 300 social enterprises. A lot of the time, social enterprise is stronger in rural areas, because in urban areas, market forces usually provide, not usually, but more, are more likely to provide a service, for example. We'll just say one example might be a social enterprise that helps people live in their home as they age. That's easier to do in an urban setting, and the private market forces can do that, but out in rural areas, it's a bit more of a challenge. So there are an increasing number of social enterprises dedicated to that type of work. Ultimately, social enterprise, whether it's urban or rural, its purpose is to make the country a better place for people to live in whatever way it is, and provide opportunities and provide choice and fill a need that mightn't be filled by government or private markets.
Tell me a little bit about this new Peace Plus Rise social enterprise project, because it's recently been launched. And first of all, who's it aimed for? And for people who may be listening here in the Northwest, give us an idea of sort of the type of projects that could stem from this.
Yeah, well, to explain this project, we work an awful lot with Rural Action, which is our counterpart in Northern Ireland. We've done a lot of shared island work with them, and really we work with everybody in Europe, and that includes Northern Ireland. So we've worked with them for a long time, and we were keen to kind of develop a project that would look at, social enterprise across the island, so that organizations in the south could learn from the north, and even just looking at policy and, what might be best practice in the south could be useful in the north, and vice versa. So the project, really, it's titled RISE. What that means, it's Rural Innovation Social Enterprise. So really, its tagline is unlocking the potential of rural innovation and social enterprise. So it launched there in February in County Tyrone. And the purpose of the project really is to to unlock the potential of rural innovation and social enterprise in Northern Ireland, but also the six border counties in rural areas. Now, by rural, we mean basically areas that have a population centre of less than 10,000 in the Republic. So it's aimed really at existing social enterprises that might want to do things better, and also community organisations that are open to going on a journey of social enterprise. So that could be a community centre that's maybe looking to set up some sort of a Wheels and Wheels, for example, or it could be, it could be a rural area where there's a lot of natural amenities. I'm just thinking of here down in County Longford, there's in Lanesburg, there's a new social enterprise called Loch Ree Access for All. And what that did was it said, we have a river, Loch Ree, and they developed a social enterprise using that resource to provide water recreation facilities for people with disabilities. That's really the type of groups. It's existing groups that want to kind of expand or do things a little bit better. And also groups that are like community groups that kind of say, yeah, we're open to social enterprise. We want to trade. We need to trade to kind of keep the doors open and, serve our people better.
The project has a number of phases, and successful applicants will get tailored mentor support and funding of up to €5,000. So I asked him then about the different phases.
There's three phases to this project. So phase one, or strand one, we call it, is titled Social Enterprise Leadership and Development. That's going to be running from May to next February. And in that phase, 20 social enterprises of all types will engage in a 10-month leadership and development program. Now, that program will involve two participants from each social enterprise, and it'll involve traditional workshops. It'll also involve cluster events where the focus is more on groups learning from each other, and also, residentials either here and also in Scotland. It's to be delivered by an organisation called the Social Enterprise Academy out of they're based in Edinburgh. And they're kind of global specialists, and they do this, their work all over the world. And their focus, or their methodology, really is to allow the groups or participants to kind of learn through sharing and sharing their experiences. The program is not really about teaching people things that they can learn in a book. It's about kind of giving people a space to learn from each other and kind of grow together, north and south, and kind of from each other and from the different types of experiences. So the type of things that will be covered in that will be things like leadership development. It could be digital marketing. It could be, looking at training needs analysis, or, there's a lot in it. It could be governance. It could be looking at trying to get new volunteers or develop new income streams. So really, that's year one. And at the end of year one, then those groups will move on to strand two, which is called making it happen. So the logic is, in year one, it's all about kind of preparation and foundational capacity development work. Year two is all about implementation, which is a kind of an intensive mentorship program. So people will be offered their own individual mentor to kind of help them actually come up with their plan, whatever that might be. And there'll also be a cash support of €5,000 for any social enterprise that's engaging in that has the ability to use that money wisely for their needs. Parallel to those two strands, there's a youth social enterprise strand, which will be going into schools and youth community space, and transition year, I suppose, will be a strong element. And it'll be looking at young people, giving them a chance to kind of come up with their own ideas about social innovation and social action. And 10 social enterprise actions will be receive an enabling support of €3,000 to that training. And we're going to be running this in three lots over the next 3 years. So in total, we're going to be, I think it's 60 social enterprises over the 3 years.
I understand there's been a couple of online information sessions already. There's one more on Thursday, March the 26th. So this is, I'm sure you'd advise people that this is a great way of finding out more.
Yeah, certainly. Step one is to fill out an expression of interest form, but and after that, then we sit down with people and no group will come onto this not knowing exactly what they're in for, because it's an offering, but it's also a fairly sizable, it's a commitment on behalf of these organizations. So people need to know what's involved. People just go on our socials, register online, and we just walk through the tree thing and answer as many questions as we can, and try to give people as much support to get their applications in. Those expressions of interest are closing on the 27th, which is next Friday. Now, we will be opening it three times. We'll have three runnings of this over the next 3 years, so there'll be a chance for people, if they hear about it and they're thinking about going in again, that's fair enough. But really, we're just encouraging people. It's a simple enough expression of interest, and that's all it is. And we're encouraging groups to just apply if they have a social enterprise ambition, either from an existing group or it's something that they're looking at. Groups don't necessarily have to have a set in stone, this is exactly what we want to do as a social enterprise, but they just need to be kind of open and ambitious to trade for a social purpose. And that's really it. Because of the nature of the project and the fact that there's so many groups involved, how it works and how it actually rolls out over the 2 years really will be shaped by, and the profile of it will really be shaped by the groups that we get in. So we will be, we'll be looking closely at your applications, and we'll be looking to kind of get a good mix in the room of people that will benefit. But like I said, we're not looking for any, groups that are flying it, for want of a better phrase. We're looking for ordinary social enterprises, and most social enterprises have challenges, and really community groups, I suppose, that are open to that dimension to their service, because increasingly community groups need to earn income to deliver their services, whatever that might be. We have already got quite a number of applications from Donegal, but we're very much welcoming, hoping for more. But particularly it's such a broad spread out. I'm from Galway myself, and it's a big county and it's very rural, and Donegal I know is the same. So we're just looking forward to seeing what comes out of it.
Finally, Brendan, if people are looking for more details about this project or indeed Irish Rural Link, your website is full of
information. Our website is just irishrurallink.ie. It's easy to find the RISE project. And also, if you just Google RISE project, it'll pop up. We're happy. All our contact details are there, and we're happy to talk to people through email, through online videos, or through, on the phone if people give us a call and want to run by ideas, because it is new and people are kind of, I'd expect that people are kind of going, yeah, where are we going to get the time to take part in this? And how many weekends are we going to have to give up? And all those sort of questions. We'll answer all those. Final thing I really just wanted to mention there, in terms of the schedule, the commitment amounts to about a total of about 8 days over the next 10 months. This is just for phase one. That will be spread out through online evenings, the odd weekend, but it'll likely result in about two activities over the over each month. But the schedule won't be offered till we know where our groups are from, because that will dictate where the face-to-face stuff will be happening, and also, you know, what schedules, what works for people. So we're going to sit down, we'll probably spend about the month of April going through it and sitting with the successful groups and say, look, what works for you? And we'll work to do our best to find a healthy balance that is practical and makes the thing successful first.
My thanks to Brendan Mulry of Irish Rural Link. Well, that's it for another edition of Business Matters here on Highland Radio. May I wish you a happy, healthy and profitable week ahead. If you want to contact the programme, just email me on businessmatters@highlandradio.com. From me, Chris Ashmore, until the next time, goodbye.
Business Matters is proudly sponsored by Prince of Plays Frosses. With 21 years in business, Prince of Plays provides managed print solutions with local support and remote ink monitoring, saving your business time and money. Prince of Plays, your local printer and photocopier company.